Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective, and more affordable than you might think. Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
You control, and 603-283-6160 is the phone number here. That's 603-283-6160. You can call in and bring whatever's on your mind, whatever you think about what we're saying, or if you want to change the topic, it doesn't matter. It's up to you. It's Free Talk Live. And with you in the studio tonight, you've got me, Bonnie,
Colin,
and Jay.
And Free Talk Live is brought to you by LibertyMinded.com. Official Free Talk Live gear, like t-shirts and hoodies, are available at LibertyMinded.com. Plus, you'll find a unique collection of cool and funny Liberty-oriented clothing at LibertyMinded.com. That's LibertyMinded.com. I actually got a new Free Talk Live shirt and an LRN.FM shirt. I'll start wearing when it's not so cold in here. Because I got t-shirt versions, but we do have Sarah on the line in New Mexico. Sarah, what's on your mind, Sarah?
Yes, I just want to bring up that all this computer technology is just so frustrating because I'm 54, and it seems like, Richard, did we learn how to take a Uber ride? Did somebody set it up for us?
Wow.
We did it 2 times, and then we forgot already. Now we can't figure out how to get an Uber ride again.
You got to practice. You got to practice your Uber pickup.
Maybe there's someone to call. Maybe you can call like a phone number on there and see if they can help you.
So you have like a smartphone, right?
Well, he does. Richard has a smartphone, and somebody set up the Uber account, and then they program where we had a car pick us up. And then now we can't do it ourselves because we forgot to do it. And everything like this is just so frustrating. Like somebody was going to refinance our mortgage and they wanted to send us documents that we could sign on the computer. We could never figure that out. I mean, we got all caught up.
As funny as it is, I'm going to suggest a solution that's computer/phone-based. If you have the YouTube app, just go there, and for anything you're ever looking to do, like how to do this, how to do that, whatever it is, how to cook a certain kind of food, how to fix a car, how to run different programs, and you'll usually be able to find a result. And maybe you have to look at 2 different or 3 different results to get the one you want, but people put together videos, and they put them on there, and it's great. It's one of the coolest things that's happened for looking for information.
YouTube search, how to use the Uber app. And that'll really help you out a lot.
Yeah, but Sarah, doesn't that mean that there will be one more car on the road?
We do it because there's no buses that go there. I mean, where we were thinking of going, it's so far out, we were going to catch the bus way one back. And when we got, like, pork chops or, you know, perishable food, we have to take the Uber coming back.
So, are you putting homeless people's lives in danger every time you call an Uber?
I mean, you know, the thing is, it's inevitable. I mean, I try to do as much, like, harm reduction, but there's no way of getting around it. So,
Sit in the front seat and you watch for homeless people while the driver is not really paying attention or is speeding and you call out homeless person if one's in the road? Is that the harm reduction?
Well, you know, I just sit in the back like a taxi cab driver. Well, what we have to do is called Z-Trip because they're the only one that takes phone calls. We don't have to do it on the computer. And then my thing is that it's so frustrating. We're senior citizens, And I went to the library, and there's actually a course. It's got a smartphone on the picture. There's actually a course on Wednesdays and Fridays that actually help you use the computer.
Nice. So you should go to that, Sarah, definitely, because I think that that would be really helpful. Sarah used to call in to ask us things that were very much something somebody should just Google. So it'd be great if Sarah goes to those classes and learns how to use smartphones more and computers more. But thank you for the call, Sarah. I just wanted to mess with her about she's always calling saying she hates drivers and they kill homeless people in New Mexico, and now she's on the side of capitalism.
If you hit him with a car, it's not as bad as if you hit him with a bus. I saw a video where some guy's head was just like exploded like a watermelon when the tire went over it.
Oh my gosh. That's terrible.
It kind of made me hungry for watermelon, though, I'm going to be honest.
That's gross.
Oh, wait, I shouldn't say that on air. Sorry, folks. I'm a compassionate, empathetic
Colin's
person
been looking at his neighbors, sizing his neighbors up for the collapse.
You think I like thinking I'm going to have to haul my neighbor up in a tree, cut him up in little bits?
He will eat your leftist ass.
Do you know what Colin's neighbors are?
Are they leftists?
No, they're cows.
Oh.
Straight up bovine. That kind of cow.
Jay, had something you wanted to bring up.
Yeah, so you guys who've been listening to me, been hearing me talk about New Hampshire DCYF, also known as Child Protective Services. And so here in New Hampshire, because we have an actual citizen legislature that isn't much influenced by DCYF, the performance of DCYF, because we have a legislature that doesn't have a pension fund. The judge's pension fund in New Hampshire gets a lot of money based on the performance of DCYF. So this is one reason DCYF is so protected by government, because the pension funds get money based on from the Social Security Administration based on the performance of DCYF. Anyways, this past Monday, there was a House committee on investigating DCYF. And in fact, if we can put in the show notes somewhere a link to the video. Also, there is a GraniteGork.com. Granite Grok. Yes, Grok. Yeah, thank you for that. Is a local news source. And they have an article in there about this. But so this committee to investigate DCYF, which was headed up by Leah Cushman, because Leah Cushman got many, many, many complaints as a state representative about the horrible things that DCYF and family court are doing to people. Mm-hmm. And they're doing it without due process of law. So the last committee that hearing was is a three-hour hearing on YouTube. And it was and the subject was DCYF and due process of law. So there was some people, Andrew Noyes is one of the guys who explained like what actual due process of law is very, very well. But I'll back up a little bit. In this committee at the very beginning, Leah Cushman says, yeah, we're going to ask people to take an oath. And she says in that committee that, and there was an objection from, I believe the woman's name is Baker, Representative Baker. I can't remember her first name. Anyways, and there was another Democrat on that committee who I believe objected to or objected also. So they objected to this testimony being under oath. And so now the Democrats are in a frenzy about this. Hmm. They have actually in the union leader, there's an op-ed sort of trying to bash Leah Cushman over this, oath. And the oath is actually not required. If you go and you watch this video that's on YouTube, the House Committee YouTube channel, and maybe Colin, you could find that video.
Yeah, I'm trying. Yeah. I'm looking, trying to look for it right now.
Yeah, yeah. It's in the.
What did you say the first name you thought the lady was?
Baker. But if you go into Noon versus State Group that we have, you'll find the video in there, and we'll give you a better description on the link to actually look up.
The Granite Grok says who it is too.
Yes, and it has it in the Granite Grok. But I want to make this easy for listeners to go check this out. So they object, and the reason that they're saying that they object to the oath, and is totally within the statutory realm for the legislative officers, you know, for the representatives on the committee to ask someone to be put under oath. So this is not a committee about someone's opinion on a bill. This is actual testimony from people who have been trespassed on by DCYF and the family court. In fact, people should really listen to this hearing because, you know, the stories are like, you know, unbelievable that some of the people are talking about. And it just, if you, anywhere you are, just do your, you know, New Hampshire DCYF settlements, and you'll just see that just the amount of money the state has paid out, the liability that DCYF has created amongst the taxpayers is the tune of hundreds of millions of dollars. It might be something like $300 million in the past decade that's been paid out by the Division of Risk and Benefit of New Hampshire. So we'll see if the public records request gets answered on that particular subject. But anyways, so the Democrat on the committee says, well, if people aren't going to want to, you know, be forthcoming if they're under oath. So Leah says, well, if they don't want to be under oath, then they don't have to be. Mm-hmm. And she's not requiring you to be under oath. She's just administering oaths. And she said that you don't have to accept the oath and you can still testify. I believe the reason the Democrats are freaking out about this is because it is actual testimony from actual victims. So once it is testimony that is under oath, then this testimony can be used in court things, can be used in lawsuits, it can be used in prosecutions. And that that Democrat said, well, it isn't, the Democrat said something about, well, we're not going to be prosecuting anybody due to the outcome of this. And as far as I'm concerned, that's the only purpose this committee should exist for, is to make sure that some bad actors that work for New Hampshire Health and Human Services and or DCYF or any state agency who are violating the rights of the people do get prosecuted.
That's technically the purpose for like almost all of those committees.
Right.
You know, supposedly they're there to protect the people.
Correct.
And they're supposed to be like an internal thing, checking on how the government itself is working,
yep.
You know, and make sure that people's rights aren't being violated.
So Leah Cushman is being threatened is being challenged. There'd be, the Speaker of the House or somebody, I could be misquoting what I'm saying here, but somebody above her or that reigns power over her in the legislature, which as far as I'm concerned, the only people that are above the, you know, Leah, for example, are her constituents, the people, not some, you know, somebody else in the legislature, like the Speaker of the House or, you know, the governor, whoever. She answers to the people. She doesn't answer to them. And she received a whole bunch of affidavits to investigate DCYF. I'm not sure. It could be hundreds of affidavits. In fact, there was a state representative who came in there to testify and said that when he went and door knocked and he asked people about their concerns, the most popular concern was DCYF.
Wow.
Well, which makes sense. Like when I walked around the Henniker campus a couple years ago to just kind of chat up some people, and I talked to them about DCYF, like every kid that I talked to at that, when I say Henniker campus, New England College, mm-hmm. like most of the students at New England College are like from New York City, mm-hmm. Baltimore, Hartford. At least when I was talking to them, hey, where are you from? Oh, I'm from Hartford. I'm from New York City. I'm from Baltimore. Couple guys from Chicago. What do you think of Child Protective Services? Oh, they're bad.
Wow.
You know, they're you know, and a lot of these inner city kids have got horrible, you know, things to say about Child Protective Services because they neither know someone has been victimized, someone in their family was victimized by them, or they themselves are victimized by them. So anyways, So the Democrats are looking to get this out of the way. And the thing is when you have people testify under oath, it is very, very powerful. And then their testimony under oath stands as the truth until it is rebutted. And you only have a short time to rebut these testimonies. I mean, they're not saying that you, like when we do these affidavits that we're sending out to, you know, get these investigations going. And like we sent affidavits directly to, I believe her name is Lori Wheeler. I could be wrong about that name, but I think
that sounds like that's a rep. Yeah.
No, she is. the somebody in DCYF or Health and Human Services.
Yeah, that name sounds familiar, but yeah, okay.
But whatever. She was like, and so like Colin, you know, filled out one of these affidavits. You know, we've had a whole bunch of affidavit parties where a bunch of people filled out these affidavits, and they were addressed to her. She is, I think, the director of DCYF or something. And so, for example, she was told about these crimes at DCYF and has done nothing. But as we know, nothing's been done about DCYF because DCYF is quite literally a cash cow for the parasite class,
yeah,
for the people who work in government. It is, if you look at this Social Security Administration Title IV, and you start looking into how much money through the Title IV program has been given to the states, it is like $500 million has been given, like, you know, to the 50 states from the Social Security Administration, and that money is incentive money to incentivize DCYF to basically take children to do assessments. And the other thing too that was about this hearing is there was a few people who testified that we called DCYF because this child was being neglected and abused, and nothing happened. Multiple people called DCYF. This child is being neglected and abused. Nothing happened. But at the same time, they're investigating families that, let's just say, for lack of a better description, families that are anti-narrative. So, like, for example, I just talked to a woman the other day on the phone. She's going to testify at the next committee where her five-year-old son was taken from her for allowing the son to ride the bicycle up and down her driveway. Hmm. And her driveway is basically a class six road. What is a class six road in New Hampshire? A class six road is a road that is not maintained by the town or the city or the state because it was basically a carriage path 100 years ago. And it's never, you know, they're not paved. They're not plowed, you know, by the city. It's basically their driveway.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, my driveway was a class six road up until a few years ago. It's no longer a class six road, but so this woman's kid was eventually taken from her just over allowing a five-year-old to ride his bicycle up and down her driveway. And this particular woman has some mentally ill libtard neighbors that reported her. So basically what we have going on with the weaponization of the government, you know, we had a caller, you know, call in the beginning of the show about Trump. So we have a weaponization of this, you know, government, you know, left versus right, essentially happening at federal, state, county, and local levels all over the country. And DCYF is a really powerful weapon of this radical left that they're using against conservative families. Because, you know, and if you look at the nature of the people that actually go to work in DCYF as social workers, you look at the culture of them people, the liberal left institutions that they have, you have to attend to get the credentials to become a social worker. And these are institutions that are funded by the Gates Foundation, the Clinton Foundation, the Ford Foundation, MacArthur. You know, just walk around any of these, you know, institutions, and you're going to find these plaques and stuff on the walls. Not all of them are funded by, you know, the people, the associations or whatever, the endowments that I mentioned. But we know that Jeffrey Epstein's friends are quite literally, you know, funding the education of the social workers. Another interesting thing is social workers in New Hampshire take a class called to maximize revenue for DCYF via Social Security Administration Title 4, A, B, C, D, whatever.
That's crazy.
So, like,
shouldn't the purpose be, shouldn't you know that your job, your purpose is to protect kids if you're becoming a DCYF worker?
Not when there's money involved.
They straight up know that it's right. Not that, so, and that it is to maximize profits.
And actually, a lot of the testimony that they talked about, like this one state representative and this other woman who testified at the very end of this committee, she was representing someone else who was actually trying to adopt her granddaughter because her daughter was a drug addict and was like, hey, mom, I got pregnant. I can't, like, do this baby. Will you take the baby? So there was like an agreement between the mom who's struggling with life to get the baby from the drug addict daughter, and everything was good. And the mom was like from out of state, Wisconsin or Michigan or something. And this lady actually who read this testimony was a former state representative. And DCYF was like, no, you can't do that, because they didn't want to lose custody of the child, because it is, because that child is a cash cow for this money coming from the federal government to keep the system funded. So they want their maximum foster kids. They want them in foster care because this is how they make their living. And this is how the social workers are essentially trained, you know, via this class, which actually I'd love for somebody to contact me that has actually taken this class. You can contact me at jay@jaynoone.com. That's jay@jaynoone.com. That's my email. If you have any information about, you know, this maximizing revenue for DCYF class that's been offered at Granite State University. So so what's happening is the social workers are basically under, and this is a presumption I'm stating right now, but they're basically being taught that, like, we need to maximize revenue so you have a retirement fund. Because a lot of the things about the state, you know, employees is one of the biggest things is their golden parachute retirement funds that, you know, they're able to have because, you know, the state just points guns at taxpayers and make sure these fund, these retirement funds are well funded. So the next hearing, oh, and the reason that these Democrats are freaking out about under oath is because when DCYF goes down, the judicial pension fund will probably collapse. And so the family courts, aren't operating under due process of law at all whatsoever. In fact, none of the courts are operating under due process of law. If you go into this, listen to this committee, there's two young men, that explain it really well, what due process of law is, what a court of law is, and a court of law exists without the statutes. As soon as a statutory anything is brought into a court, it is no longer a court of law. So, like, when you're charged with some kind of statute, you're not in, you're not in a court of record. And a court of record is guaranteed to the people. So this is something else that's going to come out of these hearings that is going to be used for another committee to, and so we need to dissolve all of the circuit courts, all of the family courts, and the superior courts, because they're not courts of record. The only court of record is a Supreme Judicial Court, and that's who should be hearing all the stuff. And also, these statutes need to stop getting enforced on people who aren't government employees, because that's the only thing that these statutes belong to. So the next meeting is going to be March 25th at 9 a.m. at the State House. I don't know what room number, but a meeting to investigate DCYF. Colin, did you by any chance find that that description in that YouTube
video?
Is it
the Legislative Office Building or the State House?
I don't know.
It just makes me wonder, who are these freaking Democrat people that would have a problem with this and instantly know, like, oh, we got to object to this?
They're either mentally ill or they're pedophiles.
Well, the state rep lady you mentioned, it's just like they are all in lockstep with this, and it's crazy. Like, are they in some kind of a secret meeting cults after hours, after they meet up for in their Congress or whatever? 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up.
It's easy to see. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. We all know something big is coming, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming more self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. My Patriot Supply is the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, and they make it easy for you to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, heirloom seeds for your garden, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items will ship that same day. Time is short. Prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA News Update. Sweden has been formally accepted as a member of NATO. The Swedish Prime Minister traveled to Washington, D.C. Thursday to deliver the necessary paperwork for admission in a ceremony alongside Secretary of State Antony Blinken. The inclusion of Sweden and Finland marks the most significant expansion of the alliance in decades. President Biden announcing the construction of a port on the Gaza coast by the U.S. to facilitate aid delivery in his State of the Union speech. According to administration officials, Biden will instruct the U.S. military necessary to lead the mission. Pressure from within his own party, urging assistance for Palestinian civilians affected by the Israel-Hamas conflict, has been mounting on Biden. XL Energy, the utility serving the Texas Panhandle, is investigating whether their equipment could be responsible for the state's largest wildfire. Multiple lawsuits regarding the fire have highlighted a downed power line as a potential cause. John Schaefer, USA News.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track. Not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Control and 603-283-6160 is the phone number. That's 603-283-6160. Are you tired of the oppressive rules and moderation of the big tech social media sites?
Yes.
Our social Mastodon server at social.freetalklive.com can set you free. Mastodon is free, open source, decentralized, and federated. Multiple apps are available for iOS, Android, Windows, Mac, and Linux. Social.freetalklive.com. Sorry, you had something you wanted to say there, Colin?
Oh, no, I was just saying yes. Yes, I agree.
Yeah. You're tired of the big tech social media sites?
Absolutely.
And with you in the studio tonight, you've got me.
Oh, and Colin.
And Jay.
And Jay, you were telling us in the last segment about these NDCYF or investigate DCYF committee hearings. Is that what you're calling? What
yes.
You were calling them?
So here's the YouTube description, and I think Bonnie, you'll put it maybe on the Twitter page or something.
Yeah.
So if you go YouTube, House Special Committee on the Division for Children, Youth, and Families.
And so these special committees are different than the ones that hear about bills.
Right. It's a special committee. This is basically an investigation. And in parentheses, they have 03042024, which is the date. Now, this is on the New Hampshire, the NH House of Representatives Committee streaming channel, which has 3,000 subscribers. Anyways, so be sure to follow this. And I am going to be putting some stuff on my website, jnoon.com, about the next meeting, what room it's in, what building it's in. And I will also, there's like an email that they're setting up to email this committee. I don't know what that email is off the top of my head. In fact, if you if you want, you go on this YouTube video and just skip to the end and listen to the last couple minutes. They do say what there's an email. And also on my Twitter, which is JNoonManCamp, I will be putting some stuff there about it. And also you can, you know, find these op-eds that they're pushing against Leah on Twitter. If you go to Leah Cushman, NH is her Twitter handle. And a good friend of ours, Ian Underwood, actually wrote a supporting op-ed that he sent to the union leader. But we'll see if the union leader will even publish it, because, you know, they're corrupt, all, you know, best I can tell also.
Quick question. This committee, is it a new committee that they specifically created, like, in this session? Or
yes, so this is a committee that was specifically created because state representatives started getting...
And it's a special committee, too. Yeah, no, so that answers your question. They know, they've got some idea of what's...
So,
yeah.
So my question from the last segment where I was saying, how do these Democrats know, oh, we got to object to everything Leah Cushman does? It's like, how could you be against people telling the truth? And especially if they're not being coerced, because I would probably object to it, too, if it was coerced being put under oath, because I don't,
They can't get that, you know, their supply of adrenochrome cuts really going to do bad things for them.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's obviously there's something nefarious.
Truth is treason in a...
empire of lies.
That's right. Thank you.
Yes.
Truth is treason in an empire of lies. So, you know, that, you know, this is what's going on here. And, you know, I'm sure Leah's on some kind of, you know, naughty list because she's, you know, she's a mom. You know, she's got children and, you know, she's still with the husband. You know, she's got a really good, nice nuclear family. And, you know,
I think it's just because she's a free stater.
A free stater, because she's willing to challenge the corruption. And this might be one of the first times in history that this kind of committee is actually happening, because you would never get this done in Massachusetts, California, or New York, because they have a legislative pension fund, because those legislators all get like a career paycheck. They make a career of being a legislator. To like New Hampshire, which is got 400 state reps, which is more state reps than the other 49 states put together. And they're not paid. They just get $100 a year stipend, which is basically not a pay. So there is no pension fund. And I'm not sure, you know, in Massachusetts or New York or California, how much, you know, Social Security Administration Title IV money, you know, the legislative pension fund gets. I know the judicial pension fund gets a lot. And 66% of whatever's collected in child support is given to the judge's pension fund. And so it is actually rules in these family court for California and Texas. And, you know, one state's a red state, one state's a blue state. But it is rules in family court. And all these family courts are federalized under the Child Adoption Protection Act that came in 1997 under Clinton. But there's a rule that they are to basically make child support rulings based on the financial benefits that the state will receive, and that is, you know, make whoever's earning the money pay to child support, basically. And it's not for, you know, the benefit of the kids. All of this is for the benefit of the parasite. The parasite calling itself Child Protection Services and Family Court, everything they do is for the benefit of them. It's just like the teachers' unions. You think the teachers' unions are doing anything to benefit the children? No, it's to benefit them. Well, their union.
People really don't understand like how the state creates these corporations, and that's really all these things are, and how that's actually in a way part of the government. But they could create any type of corporation they want. So there's like municipal corporations, you know. And so there's, you know, what's the one in Massachusetts? What's the police there?
If you internet search this, Massachusetts state police are corporations, Washington Post. So what you're going to find is a Washington Post article where the Massachusetts ACLU sued the Massachusetts State Police, and Massachusetts State Police said, we're not, you know, bound by the constitutions or the statutes that, you know, regulate government. They did a Freedom of Information Act request, and it was denied. And they went all the way to the Supreme Judicial Court of Massachusetts with this Freedom of Information Act request. And the Supreme judicial court in Massachusetts stated that the Massachusetts State Police are made up of 52 law enforcement councils that are corporations. They are actually charities. It says it right in a Wall Street Journal article, or Washington Post, because they have a tax identification number that begins with, I think, 098 or something, which is an IRS designation as a charity. So the Supreme Court Justice's opinion, they agreed with Jack Collins, who was the legal counsel for the Massachusetts State Police Association. I actually know this guy. I used to deliver him hay. In fact, I stayed at his place on Nantucket years ago, about a 15 years ago. I got, you know, got to know him a little bit, and he represented these guys, you know, state police, and he wrote basically the brief stating that they are no different than the American Heart and Lung Society or the American Cancer Society, because they are just a charity. So all these municipal corporations of the city of Keene, if you read the city of Keene charter, because it has a uniform commercial code charter, they are a municipal corporation, not a government.
But what all corporations are, not to get too far off, but it does all tie in, is they are requests from the government for specific legal protections. And then you agree to abide by certain rules.
And those rules are all stated in the corporate charter.
Yes. And then those are governed also by statutes. So statutes, again, don't apply to the actual people. They only apply to people who form corporations or, you know, get licenses and
officers
stuff like
of
that.
Corporations and government and contractors. It's all. And people who contract with the government and contract with these corporations are the only ones the statutory law applies to. Statutory code. It's not even law.
Yeah, it's not law. Yeah. And in some states, it's actually requires a different amount of votes in, like, the state assembly to pass law than it does to pass the statutes. Because the statutes, it's just essentially it's like internal rules, right? And so, generally, the government has a lower burden for establishing what rules they want to. So, you know, like the actual, the state house, they can have a dress code. And that's not a law. That's just a rule that's there that they make for themselves.
Right. It's easier for them to get through.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's not applying to the people. So it doesn't need to have a higher, let's say, burden of proof.
So in the state of Maine statutory construction manual, a friend of mine has been living in Maine for a little while and he's really studied this. It says that people are invited to the statute, basically the statutory code. People are invited, but persons are required to abide by the statutory code. It says something like that. I didn't quote it exactly. But also, if you guys wanted to learn some stuff about these statutes and these corporations and even things discharging debt, the Curtis Stone, your urban farmer, who's a guy I met down in Anarchapulco, who actually did a really, really great presentation. If you're someone who is looking to buy property to homestead, you should go to Curtis Stone's website and you should click on resources and send him a little message so he can get back to you. He has a really awesome service that he offers where he uses Google Maps to check out your property and sort of tell you where you should put your pastures, where you should put your retention pond, where you should build your house, where you should put your barn, all this really cool stuff that has really helped the homestead operation out a lot. But anyways, Curtis Stone, your urban farmer on YouTube, he's been doing some really, really good videos since Anarchapulco because he hooked up with a lot of people at Anarchapulco. So he's been doing these basically Zoom calls where he has six or seven guests and they talk about a lot of this law stuff. And I listened to a lot of Curtis Stone years ago when I was listening to Robert Menard and Dean Clifford, the Canadian Freeman Project guys, and they were talking all about this law and stuff. And I did a podcast with Curtis Stone and Tim Pichot, the Liberty Advisor down there, and I didn't really realize how much of a journey of a similar journey Curtis Stone and I have been on, in our lives, to where I've been doing this legal stuff since I was in my teens. Mm-hmm. And then got a homestead and now raising a family. He's been raising a family a little longer than I have, but and homesteading a little longer than I have. But it was pretty interesting. So yeah, check him out if you want to learn more, sort of about, some of the stuff we've been talking about, which is the government just
you know, I
just a name on a piece of paper.
I'd kind of like to make some points to anybody who's listening, because there might be some people who are listening and they wonder some things throughout their life, like, well, you know, if Congress shall pass no law, for infringing on gun rights and stuff like that, then how is it that there's such a thing as the
NFPA?
Yeah, the National Firearms Act, you know, and the Hughes NFA, Amendment, and all of these other things. And, well, it turns out that those are, again, internal rules for the government that they've, and then you at some point in your life identify as part of that by filling out paperwork in a certain way and claiming that you're part of that system.
Claiming you're a U.S. citizen.
Yeah, exactly.
A citizen, and which is a citizen of the District of Columbia.
Yeah, which no such thing existed prior to the 14th Amendment.
Right.
Yeah. Another example of that is like the mask mandates here. You know, the governor issued an executive order. Well, those orders only apply to within the government. It's like if you have the
executive division.
Yeah, exactly. It's like if you have a company and you issue an order to your company, it doesn't apply to anybody else, right? You know,
right. If Walmart issues an order, it doesn't apply to customers that walk into Walmart. It only applies to the people who work for Walmart. Yeah.
What's weird is though, they just like they don't. The people enforcing it at the front of the courts don't understand this, because Joa, former host on the show, he was standing outside where I was. I was not being allowed into the beginning of Ian's trial because I actually literally just lost my ID. And Joa was refusing to ID. And he found the rules. It was actually on their wall that they were trying to use to enforce to tell us we couldn't come in without IDs. And it specifically said that federal employees, it applied to federal employees, and he was pointing that out, and they were like, listen, we're done talking to you. They just didn't care.
They do that kind of stuff, they put themselves into a position where they could be sued.
And well, so here's the thing, technically, so if you did a Freedom of Information Act on yourself, request on yourself with the IRS quite likely has you labeled as a federal employee. So if you've ever filled out any employee documents, the only way that you can be so anyone who is a quote-unquote employee is only federal employees. There's no such thing as a non-federal employee. So if you go work for somebody where you fill out these tax forms, for example, you are technically a federal employee. So that would essentially apply. And all U.S. citizens are technically federal employees. In fact, there's a Supreme Court ruling from 1976. It's called Fox Steel versus Wheeling Company or something like that, where they state that all U.S. citizens are property of the federal government.
Wow.
And what you're doing is you're essentially impersonating a U.S. citizen when you check off that you're a U.S. citizen on any of these documents, unless you attach a firm statement, you know, an affidavit essentially with the document explaining what, you know, definition of U.S. citizen you're using, because there's according to the Supreme Court, there's three different definitions of a U.S. citizen.
Yeah, and I just want to reiterate again. So to anybody who's listening who's a conservative or libertarian and they've studied the Constitution their whole life, they're like, well, there's all these things that they do that are violating it. You're going to find out that they actually aren't really violating the Constitution. People have agreed to be part of those systems and agreed to follow those rules. Just like if you join the military, right, you sign a contract with them. And then guess what? Now you don't have freedom of speech when you're in the military. They can regulate your speech and all sorts of other things. But you agreed to it. And that's, you know, the thing. Just like if you were to work at a company, let's say I had a company and you came in, or business, maybe that's a better word, is business. But if you worked for me, I could say, hey, don't say these things in front of the customers, and then I could fire you for that. I could fire you for any reason, you know. But that's how this other stuff works.
Couldn't you not fire me for any reason in New Hampshire because it's not a right to work state?
All that stuff is probably related to if you have an LLC. It's like with barbers and things like that. That's an official title that you get, like as a barber or as a doctor or as a lawyer, and you get licenses for those things. But you can cut anybody's hair and they can give you money. You can drive anybody and they can give you cash.
Okay, saying unlicensed business.
Yeah. Anybody is free to do anything for anybody else. But when you go to the government, you say I want to have this liability removed. Then you're saying, in a way, like, I'm going to follow extra rules.
Yeah, doesn't work out that way every single time, though, because, like, my husband was not free to sell Bitcoin to people without a license because he never signed up to become, like you said, well, he has to become a church. Well, he never became a 501c3 church that implies those rules on him.
I mean, I don't know each and every little detail of that case, but I do know that, like, people went to the banks and filled out documents with the banks.
And checked off that they were United States citizens.
Or other things like that, or used certain types of IDs to do it. Or
yeah, but like the people that run churches are usually filling out their own personal taxes. It just shouldn't apply to the church.
Yeah, I don't really have an answer. They didn't go after the church, they went after Ian.
Yeah, but they were saying that Ian was running a business and that it wasn't him operating a church. And then they didn't have to prove that.
But like one of the biggest concerns is that, you know, with me in any of these cases, when they come against you, is that you're, by just exercising the status of being a U.S. citizen, even though you're doing it unknowingly, you're accepting a benefit from the state, even though it's unknowingly. And this is the way the state looks at it. And this is why, like, Christopher Gronski is, you know, very much into, like, you know, educating people on not to be in the federal zone, as he refers to it, you know, this jurisdictional traps. Like, this is why when, you know, you get a driver's license, you should attach a statement with your driver's license. Like the one that I like that is like, hey, I'm doing this as a mere convenience, because if I don't have a driver's license, I'll be arrested, harassed, or possibly murdered, or whatever. And, you know, and also please note that I'm not a 14th Amendment federal citizen. I am a, you know, citizen of this state or whatever you want to claim, or, you know, I am not a resident of the state. You know, a resident is a foreigner out of the District of Columbia. Destinations Freedom, is it .org?
I think it's Destination Freedom.
Destination Freedom. Actually, Jeff Berwick just did a video, his latest video on vigilante.tv. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Or
just, you could Google dollar vigilante and, you know, you'll find it.
Jeff Berwick just did a pretty good video interviewing Christopher Gronski that covers like a lot of this, you know.
Yeah, and those videos are on Rumble, I believe, as well as Library and Odyssey and everything. Yeah.
Everything but YouTube and Facebook.
Yeah. And Christopher Gronski, it is destinationfreedom.org.
Yeah. And he was at Anarchapoco also. That Anarchapoco was just like such a great thing. And if you, I recommend that you guys go on anarchapoco.com and buy the replays and watch my presentation and all the other presentations. My presentation, if you want to skip right to it, is at the end of day 4, part 1. So the replays are like, each clip is like 4 hours long,
which
is a little annoying. But
I didn't quite want to say it on the air, but I need to reach out to somebody there and tell them that they need to break it up and make it to where the videos are smaller and portioned
right,
out.
Right,
and
But
wait, I'm saying it now. So maybe somebody else can do that, and I don't have to.
But but anyways, and that's a lot of work to like do that stuff and get it done.
They can just offer a bounty. Somebody will do it. Yeah.
If you go to anarchapoco.com and you use my coupon code J, that helps me out. You save 10% and I'll get 10%. It's a way you can support me and, you know, what I'm doing. And if also you would like to support me and what I'm doing, go to my website, j@jnoon.com. There are some cryptocurrency codes there where you can, you know, throw me a little crypto if you like, you know, what I'm about and what I'm doing. That would certainly help. Because I really want to push my message of investing in our posterity a lot harder in the future.
Nice. Well, I'm not trying to say that you guys are wrong or something. It's not like I'm disagreeing. Like, you're probably right that's how it's written, that's how it's supposed to work and stuff. It's just that when they have no other recourse, they're like, okay, well, we're just going to tell a jury you're a bad person and you're going to go to jail anyway.
You know, and I mean, definitely, the system, in order for it to work, needs it to look believable to the average person. So they need to kind of like have some sort of laws and things like that when they go after people, and to where people are like, oh, well, of course he was breaking the law right here and, you know, whatever. But, you know, they will actually just, you know, go after you with what do I want to say, you know, like underground things, you know, the deep state, they could just mafia you and, you know.
Sure.
Yeah. So, I mean, that is a thing. Like, they will, if they need to do it, they're going to do it. But if they could do it and make it look like you were violating the system in some way, then they're going to do that. And they're going to try to do that first, because then everything just looks like it's, you know, legitimate.
I mean, they cherry picked the jury, so there's that route. But
and they always
do. Yeah. But
because who selects whoever is available for jury, you know, it's not random. you know, it's going to be a bunch of bootlickers,
yeah.
you know, that they get, you know, in the jury pool. And the people who show up to jury service are people who are too dumb to get out of jury duty.
Yeah.
You know, those are the people who end up serving on a jury. Every once in a while, you might get someone who got, you know, a wind of fully formed, you know, jury association, the FIJA stuff there, and they just sort of keep their mouth shut so they can get on a jury. I mean, if you are a libertarian or you believe in freedom or you understand government's corrupt, you should do your best to get on a jury if you can get on a jury. But they're really good about screening them out, especially in Arizona. To get on the stuff my mom and questions they wanted her to fill out, they wanted to know if she watched like certain like news media, conservative news media. Mm-hmm. They had all kinds of like real personal questions they wanted her to fill up, put in a jury intake form, which was pretty crazy. She was really upset about it. And she ended up not getting on a jury because she filled it out fairly honestly. She figured if she lied, you know, or put left things out that, you know, she would be put in jail or something, you know.
Yeah. And I don't blame people for thinking that. I also don't blame people for, you know, if they have to make money that day, not yes. wanting to go get paid $10.
Well, some of these jury trials could, you know, take like these January 6th trials, the juries are going to go on for, you know, weeks. And only people that can possibly afford to, like, be on a jury duty for weeks are they, them, and those who are parasite class members because the state's going to pay them for their job or the financial institution.
Oh, and one more thing about Ian's trial. Whenever they, so you have like 16 jurors that were there the whole time, and then they have to throw out however many that are more than the amount they really need. I can't remember how many that is.
Alternative jurors, yep.
So yeah, they're people who are there for in case like somebody dies, then, you know, you don't have to redo the whole trial because you have some extras. So the people that got thrown out, usually they do something like, it's not drawing numbers from a hat, but usually they do something else. But during Ian's trial, the judge was like, does anyone object to me using a randomized number generator on my phone? And no one objected. And I was like, what? And then he didn't have to show his phone. He was just like, it says 16. It says juror 1. I was like so annoyed in that moment. I was like, how do we know he didn't just already
Yeah, how come Ian's lawyer
those?
Didn't object?
I don't know.
He's a lawyer, so he's a criminal too. It's part of the system.
Free Talk Live. You can find more at freetalklive.com. Thanks for listening, and peace.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.